Happy 4th of July weekend as we gather. Some of you from the parish know where I'm from, but those of you new may not know where originally I'm from. I'm from that that colony up in the Northeast called New York, and realize there's actually a few of us here in the Cary area, and others from that part of the country. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, my kind of, a little bit of my roots, to lead to some thoughts I have this morning that I'd like to share with you. I grew up in a place called Yonkers, New York, and it was just outside of New York City, kind of what Cary is to Raleigh, Yonkers is to New York City. And I know many New Yorkers have moved here to this area. And I want to mention that one of the differences we hear is language oftentimes. You know, like around here we drink coffee, and I drink coffee. Yeah. Around here there are roofs on the top of homes, and I actually have a roof. And people here seem to have insurance, and I know I have insurance. And it's the different languages, the different ways we say things that make up the richness of this great country and kind of our coming together as a people. So a lot of my experience comes from growing up in Yonkers, or as they say there, Yonkers, Yonkers, New York. And I grew up there, and when it came time to go to high school, many of the people I grew up with, a lot of my friends, went to some of the local public high schools and some local parochial high schools. I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition. There were many Roman Catholic high schools in the area as well. But I made this decision with my parents, okay, to go to a high school in New York City, in Manhattan. It was called Cathedral Prep. It was a parochial high school, a Roman Catholic high school, that was designed for young boys who were interested in the priesthood. Schools like this don't exist anymore, but back in the late 1960s and a few years after that, that was a very common tradition. I was a kid who grew up wanting to be a priest and thought it'd be really exciting to go to this school. It was one of the greatest experiences in my life. I got to meet some incredible priests who taught in that school who to this day have an influence on my life and the priesthood that my 32 years as a priest now, almost 32, the great influence on me. So I really treasure that experience, the education I received, and just everything that was a part of that high school. But an added part of going to that high school was that I commuted each day from Yonkers, New York, into Manhattan. And the experience looked something like this. I got on the train in Yonkers and rode that train into the Bronx. It's about a 20-30 minute ride, maybe 20 minutes. And on that train, there seemed to be a lot of people in suits, pinstripe suits, many of them reading the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. I rode with them into the Bronx, then got off that train and walked up a staircase to one of the New York City subway lines, the Broadway line, it's called. Back then it was called the number one. I'm not sure it's still called that, but I got on at 225th Street in the Bronx, and people getting on the subway there were oftentimes reading maybe the Daily News, or at that time the New York Post, oftentimes carrying their lunch in bags, getting on the subway to head into Manhattan. We went into Upper Manhattan and into 168th Street. We came to 125th Street and Broadway, and people were coming on from different backgrounds, different traditions, many times carrying with them Spanish newspapers, and the language changed on the subway, and people's cultural background was different as well. Went down to 96th Street, the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and eventually to 86th Street and Broadway, if you know New York. I'd get off the subway at 86th and Broadway, walk over one block, and my high school was on 87th and West End Avenue in New York. Did that every day, down and back home again. It was an incredible experience. An incredible experience of meeting people I never would have met, at least at that time in my life, at that age in my life, as I had this opportunity going to high school. People of different cultures, different languages, different backgrounds, different experiences. just broadened my life, and also had this ability to be exposed to so much of New York, the arts, the culture, the museums, and just everything that broadened my perspective. I'm not saying New York is the only place that does this, but it did for me. It did for me. It was an important part of my own journey of life. So when you go to high school, many of us take driver's ed in high school. And so I took driver's ed at Cathedral Prep in Manhattan. I learned how to drive in Manhattan. And some of my family and friends say, that explains it. The way I drive and the way I maneuver around is really influenced, I think, by that learning how to drive and driving around Manhattan traffic and learning how to park in some of the streets and things. So it kind of came from that kind of experience of learning how to drive in Manhattan. The teacher taught driver's ed used to have this custom while you're driving, he would just put his hand over the rearview mirror and say, what color is the car behind us? Because he wanted to be sure that we were continually looking in that rearview mirror and were aware of what was behind us. And so when he'd say, what's the color of the car behind you? He always said, yellow. Just in case, if you didn't know, you just said yellow. Because there's usually a cab that was behind you following him. So last week we went up to New York, my wife and my two daughters, Elizabeth and Rebecca, to visit my parents. My parents now live... They don't live in Yonkers. They moved from Yonkers in the 70s, actually, while I was in college, and moved up to a place called Thornwood, New York, which is around White Plains. For those of you at IBM, Armonk, Chappaqua, Pleasantville, that kind of area of Westchester. They've lived there now for many years. And so I went up to visit them. Got to see my brother and my nephew. He was down for a Little League game from Boston. Got to catch up with him. But while we're there, we went into New York. We love to travel into New York and do things. Now, some people go into New York by train. They take the train into Grand Central and from Grand Central begin their ventures into Manhattan. But with my background, I love to drive into New York. My parents think I'm crazy, but I love to drive into Manhattan. It just brings back memories, you could say. I'm used to driving in that kind of traffic and kind of enjoy it. One day we drove down and into Manhattan, went through the Lincoln Tunnel over to Hoboken, New Jersey, and visited, if you know the show The Cake Boss, visited Carlo's Bakery, where the show The Cake Boss is done, if you're familiar with that show, and had fun there in Hoboken, went to dinner there, and then drove back into Manhattan, up the West Side Highway, into back home again. And the next day, my oldest daughter wanted to... It was a makeup store. She wanted to get this makeup. And supposedly there's only one store that this makeup company has, and it's at Times Square in Manhattan. So one afternoon I said, let's go. So we jumped in the car and drove down to Times Square. I got out of the car, drove over two blocks, and parked the car. So some native New Yorkers need to know where the parking spaces are, so parked the car. Drove back that evening up the West Side Highway, which is right along the Hudson River leading up towards the George Washington Bridge. Another day we went down, we went to visit the Guggenheim Museum on Fifth Avenue and the Metropolitan Museum of Art, spent some time in those museums. We always enjoy doing that. And once again, headed back up, you know, the west side of Manhattan. Something struck me as I was driving on one of those trips. We're coming up the West Side Highway, and it was close to rush hour, and there was a lot of traffic. A lot of cars coming from all different directions, coming from the entrance ramps onto the West Side Highway. And of course, we were driving my wife's car. She was a nervous wreck, but I was fairly calm as we were driving. And there's all this merging that happens, this merging traffic. And I'm very comfortable in the midst of that. And as I'm in the midst of it, I'm realizing that, you know, I'm part of a dance. A part of this experience of merging traffic. It seems to me, and it may not be the only place, but people in New York seem to know how to merge. It seems to happen. Whether you're driving in Times Square, driving in Upper Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, Wall Street, West Side Highway, this is merging that happens. Happens very close, But there's this merging, this amazing merging that happens. And as I was driving up the West Side Highway, I began to realize that I'm finding it easier to merge here than I am in Raleigh. Sometimes just trying to get on the Beltline, it seems like maybe it's not as common an experience. But in Manhattan, if you are to survive, you learn how to merge. You learn how to merge. And you've got people coming in from different places. You see, chauffeur-driven limousines. You see luxury cars. You see everyday cars. You see beat-up and dented cars that are smoking out the exhaust. Everybody seems to be merging together. Sometimes you look out the window and make a gesture to somebody like, I'm coming over. And sometimes you don't give any kind of a gesture. And sometimes there's other kinds of gestures that are they're offered. But the merge happens. And it's amazing, as all these cars come together and go down this common path, this common road. One of my spiritual directors years ago said to me that you can find the holy in everyday life. It speaks to you if you can reflect on it. And that whole idea of merging spoke to me. In the midst of this diverse cultural area, languages, backgrounds, this merging kind of happens. I began to think about merging in just our own lives. Sometimes if we don't want to merge, we think we own this road. When you come on the entrance ramp, sorry, I've got it. This is my road. And we bump people off. Or people trying to come on have a difficult time getting into the line, getting with that movement. And it began to strike me that idea of merging can speak to us of something much, much deeper, just in our own lives. Our own ability to merge, to come together, to follow that path. As we celebrate the birth of this nation, I reflect upon our founding fathers, and in the political world today, there's lots of people reflecting on the founding fathers that I'm not so sure are always accurate, but I'd like to offer my thought on the founding fathers. One of the things about the founding fathers I find is they knew what it meant to merge. They brought together these various colonies, these various people, and formed something. It wasn't easy. A lot of tension. Not everybody agreed with each other. But they had a vision, and they had a dream. And they didn't get it perfect. It would take another 100 years before a large part of the American population would be recognized as part of the nation and freed to be part of this nation. And it continues over time as we find ways to merge with people when sometimes we think we own the road and don't want others to merge. So I find, in some ways, our nation is this wondrous country where so many people coming together from various places, various cultures, various languages, and merging together to become a people who travel down this path, this road together. Without getting too political, I wish Washington would get that. Rather than different groups, different parties thinking they own the road, seeing that we can merge together, merge and become something greater than any of us can be in our parts, and become something whole and something wondrous. And I think, too, when we don't do that, we're less of a people, we're less of a nation. And I would suggest to you also that when we look at the gospel, we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus was someone, I think, who knew what it meant to merge, to call people together. In our gospel reading today, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Come to me. It's not come to me, those of you who already got it together, are successful, know what you're doing. But come to me, who are weary, heavy laden. Come, merge. Come with us. Come together. We need that as a church. We need that as a nation. We need that in our lives, I believe, to be this people who invite people to come together, who learn how to do that wondrous dance of merging. Because if we don't do that, the kingdom cannot live into its fullness. The kingdom cannot become the dream that God has. And so as we gather together this day, I go back to my visit to New York and just reflecting on that idea of merging. What about in your life? Are there areas of your life where there's a call to invite that merging to happen? to come into our life together and become something more than we could ever have imagined ourselves to be. As individuals, as a faith community, and as a nation. This nation is a wondrous place, and we are so blessed to be part of it. And its history has been one of merging incredible people, incredible cultures. Has it been easy? No. There's dents and there's dits along the way. Sometimes in that merging, we bang into each other. But we come together for something greater. So as we gather together today on this feast of this celebration of our birth as a nation, as we gather together to celebrate the good news of Jesus in our lives, may we come together, merge together, walk down this path together, become something wonderful, and live into the dream, live into the vision that God has for all of us.